think we are good to go.
We're on.
Sweet.
We've upgraded. Well, we haven't upgraded. We've just stolen someone else's podcasting equipment for today.
Oh, borrowed. We haven't stolen it.
We've got our own mics today, and we've got something that makes Mike look like a DJ, and I don't know what it is.
It's just
what is it?
It's a sort of a mixing panel, so we can get two microphone inputs with own audio channels into the computer. So I can just turn your microphone off if I want to.
Oh, great.
So, thanks. Perfect. Or mine, for that matter.
Yeah, well, you're the tech person, so you I don't know. You do you, but it looks cool.
There's lots of lights and shit.
Lights and buttons. And
you can program, like, sounds on it as well. It's so
good. What?
Well, let me check.
Do it.
Can I? 1 second.
Maybe we do this later instead of now.
No, we'll do it now.
Well, while Mike's touching pretty colored buttons on this DJ pad, we thought we're going to talk about what's going on in terms of COVID life, COVID-19, the new way it is now.
For now.
But, you know, we might take things that we've learned and things that we've done in COVID and continue them on potentially. But I think it's pretty easy for us to talk this way coming from quote unquote lockdown in Sydney, where it's not really lockdown. You can still go and do whatever you want. You just can't be in big groups. But I mean, the sun's been shining. We've been able to get outdoors. It's been basically like a paradise for runners.
It's not been bad at all. Yeah. Like, there's countries so much worse with such stricter restrictions and actual lockdowns. Mm. For us, it's just been like, oh yeah, you can't gather in groups. You can still run with a mate. You can still go somewhere to run or ride or whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
So it's not been horrible.
Exactly. Yeah. And the sun's been shining. It's been like,
it's been good.
Yeah.
We're getting into winter, quote unquote, because it's like 10 degrees Celsius in the morning and people are wearing down jackets and gloves and beanies. I'm like, fuck.
Well, if you're from Sydney, that's cold.
But
if you're Dutch, it ain't much.
Nah, not at all. It's nothing. I'm like, oh yeah, I'll wear a long sleeve for the first 5 minutes.
And then you're good. So basically it's been prime conditions to get outside and move heaps and do heaps of exercise. And from my perspective, I've seen the parks and the footpaths and the running tracks are just like jam-packed full of people.
Yeah.
And it's so good to see. And I've seen a mild to moderate increase of the number of new runners presenting to the clinic injured, but not too many, which is good.
Which was always going to, like, I think it's always going to happen in a time like this when people can't go to the gym, you can't do your group sessions.
Yep.
So if you don't have weights at home, what do?
Yep.
You go for a run because it's easy and everybody has a pair of shoes.
Yep. There's no restrictions on that. So, yeah, no CrossFit, cool, I'll run. No gym, I'll run.
Yeah, but then you go from 5 hours of gym to 5 hours of running, which is very different.
Yeah, and then bad things happen.
Yeah, that's like we've talked about load management about 100 times.
Mm.
Bad load management.
And it's really interesting. And the thing that it boils down to is people who've been exercising, doing other forms of exercise, generally are coming from a pretty good place of fitness, like cardiovascular fitness. Usually they're pretty good. So for someone who's fit in other ways, generally it's not too much of a stretch just to go and run 10Ks. Completely different to someone who's just been sitting on the couch. If they just get up and start to run, they can't just go and do 10Ks. But a fit person can.
Easy.
Whether they're a rower or a swimmer or a CrossFitter, generally they can just get up and run. But then we have this huge disparity between cardiovascular fitness and the tolerance of your tendons, bones, and muscles to running load.
Yeah.
That the bigger that disparity is, the more likely they are to get injured. So that's what I've seen is rowers, CrossFitters who are now running more, they're the ones who are getting injured, not people who've been sitting on the couch for 10 years and then just starting to run. Because when they get up, they do a bit of a walk run, like a little 1 or 2K sort of thing. So it's been really, really interesting. All these fit people who break down after running pretty hard for 3 or 4 weeks, now they're breaking down.
Yeah, because their tendons, nothing is used to it.
Yeah, it's completely new for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's kind of what I'm seeing a lot in clinic, but what I'm doing in COVID is kind of different. What Mike's doing in COVID is kind of different, and Mike's had a bit of a transformation, so I'm going to throw to him.
Well, first things first, I'm back at work. It's my first week back.
You can touch people.
I'm allowed to touch people again, and I'm fully booked this week.
Yeah.
It's been good.
People have missed their massage, bro.
Yeah, I opened up, I was like, oh, I'll go back easy, you know, maybe like 10, 15 hours. I'll see a few people here and there cruising, fully booked. And I have to like bloody plan my exercise around work. It's bloody work.
Like freaking normal people.
Yeah, what's this?
Oh, that sucks. I'm sorry to hear, Mike.
Well, at least you know now I can have money again to sign up for races that will potentially maybe happen in the future.
That's good.
Yeah, that's nice. I've been loving it.
So you were unemployed for how long?
5 weeks.
Okay. So what happened?
So like the house is very clean, like vacuum, dishwashing, washing. Everything is so nice. Like going to the shops, getting dinner, but that's like maybe 10% of my day.
Yeah.
And then the other 90% is walking the dog and exercise. So I've been like, I've been doing all the wrong things. Probably.
Yep.
We're looking at it from a load management perspective and increasing load. I've just not listened to any of our own advice.
Yeah.
I've gone from running left, right and center bits and pieces to running about 40 to 50Ks a week.
Yeah. How many Ks per week were you on, like say 2 months, 3 months ago?
Not much, like hardly. Because I was like in this sort of slum of why am I running?
It kind of varied from like 0 to 5Ks a week to like, you know, 20 or 30Ks on a good week.
Yeah, but on a good week, sporadically.
Yeah.
Where now I'm doing 40 to 50 for the last sort of 3-4 weeks.
Yeah.
And I've been riding between 100, like 80 and 100Ks a week. Mm-hmm. Before that, I was not riding.
Yeah.
Like zero
mm-hmm.
for months, maybe even a year.
Mm-hmm.
Like a ride to work here and there, like
yeah.
ride 13K, work a day, ride 13K. Not
significant.
Not significant. And now I'm doing like 60K long rides and more. So.
And you haven't broken.
I've not broken. My Achilles has not given me any grief whatsoever.
Zero.
Totally fine.
Yeah.
Haven't felt my Achilles. My Achilles hasn't felt this good in years.
Yeah.
Bad load management, doing too much, I've been doing some extra strength work, so I have been loading my calves in a different way,
mm-hmm.
which has been good,
mm-hmm.
but nothing where I'm like, yeah, I've been spot on with it, like absolutely not.
Yeah.
It's like, oh yeah, I need to do my calf raises. Done them.
Yeah.
Nothing major.
Yeah.
Achilles hasn't bothered me. I've got a bit of a perineal irritation.
Yeah.
Just like one of the other legs and your sort of calf, shin muscles around there.
Mm-hmm.
But I can run through it.
Like a minor niggle.
Minor niggle. It settles quite quickly. Like I ran 10 kilometers of hills on Thursday.
Yeah.
Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Today's Friday. I'm going to go out for a 10K run today and I don't feel it.
Yeah.
I just need to look after that and do a bit of like balance and strength and change the direction work.
Yeah.
And
you've had quite a transformation, right?
I've lost. I haven't actually weighed myself, but I probably lost like 5 to 8 kilos.
Yeah.
And people that haven't seen me for 5 weeks have gone, oh my God, you look so fit.
When you came back to work, I was like, holy shit, like get your rig out, Mike.
And like, I'm just like.
Because you got to a point where like, you know, it sounds a bit much, but like you were letting yourself go.
Yeah.
You had a muffin top, you had boobs.
Yeah.
And now you're skinny as.
And it's just because I think those 5 weeks like made me fall in love with exercise again.
Yeah.
And like I wouldn't say I needed COVID.
Yeah.
But I needed something.
Yeah.
To just go, oh, yeah, sweet. Yeah. I'm also just reconnecting with mates and setting goals and going, oh, let's do that in the future when it's on.
Yeah.
And just having like other people excited about exercise.
Yep.
And like even with Lucy being excited about exercise and going, oh, let's just go for a run together.
Yeah.
Because like suddenly I had all the time.
Yeah.
I could just go, oh yeah, let's do that.
Yeah.
Instead of, oh, I've got to go back to work or I'm tired or whatever.
Mm.
And now I just need to, the biggest thing for me now is prioritizing exercise.
Now that you don't have all the time in the world.
Now that I'm back at work.
Yeah.
I need to go, cool, I need to just plan it in and do it.
Yeah.
And because I'm on a roll, it's easier.
Yeah.
But I can definitely see people getting stuck into that slum where I was for a while.
Yeah.
For a long time.
Yeah.
To just get out of that.
Yeah.
And I don't know what snapped me out of it.
Like everyone goes through phases, right? There's phases where you love running, you're addicted, you do it every day. There's phases where you're a bit off it for a couple of months.
Yeah.
We've all experienced that. So you're very much on it right now.
I'm very much on it, but riding and running.
Yeah.
Like both of them, I'm like, yeah, I need to do this because I'm loving it.
Yeah. So from a physio point of view, I was sitting back watching Mike Strava tick over, tick over. And I'm like, okay, I'm just waiting. Like, I'm just waiting. I'm just going to sit back and wait for when he gets hurt. But you didn't. In fact, you didn't get hurt. You got better.
Yeah. I'm getting this faster.
Achilles niggle that you've had on and off for like
the last 2 years,
50 years.
Yeah.
Is like responding really, really well. So it says a lot about consistent load, right? Mm. So I think, but how do you go from almost no running, very sporadic running, so then nailing 40 to 50 Ks a week for 5 weeks in a row? I think there's something to be said for your just general tolerance for running because you're not a novice, because you're actually experienced. You've got, you know, 5 to 10 to 15 years or something like that of running in your legs. And then you just have this baseline tolerance that someone who's been running for 6 months doesn't have. So that's there. That's in the background. Your tendons will just be a bit stiffer because you've been running for 10 years. Your bones will just be a bit more resilient because you've been running for 10 years. You will have like deloaded short term, but I think you've increased your loading, but you're still kind of under that ceiling point of what you can tolerate, which is good.
I think I've just been listening to my body and gone, look, certainly, I want to go for a run, but having the bike there, I think made a massive difference. Just to go, I'm not going to go for the run because I actually can feel my leg a bit.
Yeah.
It's a bit annoyed.
Yeah.
I'll hop on the bike instead.
Yeah. So that's so good because you've been conscious that you're increasing your load, and because that's kind of at the forefront of your mind. So whenever you're sore, you're like, okay, cool. Today's not the day that I run. Today's the day that I cycle. And having that flexibility is so crucial. So it's a combination of like, you've got this like baseline level of load tolerance because you've run for a decade
or
more. Plus you're very much in tune with your body. Plus you've been sensible enough to say, when I'm a bit stiff and a bit sore, I'm just going to cycle instead.
Yeah.
It's a combo of those three, which is so good.
And I think it's like the cycling is such good cross training.
Yeah.
Because it makes me feel so much better on the run.
Yeah.
And just like, I've been looking at my Strava waiting for me to break down going, fuck, it's another 50 K week.
Yeah.
And I've been conscious going, oh, I'm going to back off to 40.
Yeah.
Because like, if I keep this up, I know I'm going to feel it.
Yeah.
Where now.
So you're going to have like a down week.
I have a down week.
Yeah.
This week, I'm going to go back up to hopefully about 45.
Yeah.
That's what like, I'm doing like 10 K today. I'll do like 16 ish K.
Yeah.
On Saturday, and I do a like run off the bike on Sunday.
Yeah.
But that's going to be like a 5-ish.
Yeah.
So overall, I'll do about 45-ish Ks.
Yeah.
And I know I'll be all right. And I can still change that plan.
Yeah.
If tomorrow I'm like after my 16 K run, I'm like, oh,
yeah,
that's a bit sore. I might not run off the bike on Sunday. Yeah. But I'll decide that when I get off the bike.
Yeah.
I can always decide to go, nah, it's not worth it.
And being flexible enough and being okay enough in that point in time to say, no, I'm not going to do it.
Mm.
And not being too proud to pull out. Super important.
Oh, it's super important. And definitely in the past, I've made that mistake of just doing another run.
Yeah. And so with your Achilles, it's really interesting that your Achilles tendinopathy is not due to a lack of strength. Because you do like the heaviest calf raises out of anyone I know. You can't sit back and say, cool, it's just, you're weak. Like that's a bit of a cop-out. But it does speak a lot to consistent loading.
Yeah.
Like instead of running, you know, once or twice in a fortnight or whatever, now going to running 4 or 5 times a week and just loading it consistently to a level that you can tolerate, but just consistently loading it. And your tendon is the best it's been in freaking ages. Yeah.
And the other thing I've done, which is like not on purpose, was a lot of slow running because my coaching group fell apart when we were not allowed to run.
It's not allowed,
more than two people.
Mm.
So I've been doing one-on-one sessions with them.
Yeah.
And it's been track sessions at their pace. So it's
which is your easy pace.
Pretty easy pace for me. So I've done lots of slow kilometers.
Yeah.
And just building base.
Yeah.
I think that I've not done I might have done a speed session once every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And the rest has all been easy, short and long runs.
Yeah.
And I think that has really helped.
Yeah.
Just to do an easy 5K here and there. Yeah. Just to constantly load the Achilles and then do a long run and then have a speed session here and there.
Yeah.
I think that has really helped as well.
Yeah. The fact that you're not flogging your body twice a week, 3 times a week with like hills and speed and sprints and that sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's good. So good. I'm stoked for you, man.
Yeah, I'm gonna keep this going and like get fitter.
Yeah, and do a 100K ultra next year.
Yeah, I'm considering it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've did commit to an Ironman at the end of next year.
Yeah.
I just need to like actually learn to swim properly.
Yeah.
But details. It's a shortest leg. Who cares?
Yeah, but what if you get pulled out of the swim because you're that slow?
Yeah, as long as I go faster than 2 hours and 20 minutes, I'll be right. Oh, it's a long swim.
Watch this space. Cool, please, man. Help. So what are you going to do for the next like 3, 4, 5 weeks when you get back into full-time work and you're standing on your feet all day at work and then you have to try and keep up 50K weeks on the feet plus cycle? What are you going to do? What's your strategy?
No consecutive days of running.
At all?
Unlikely.
Okay.
Like if I've been coaching on one day and it's been 5 easy Ks, I might run the next day.
Yeah.
But I won't do any running for myself back to back, if that makes sense.
Yes, it does.
So I might do Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday running, the other day's riding, or the other way around. It'll probably swap week per week.
Yeah.
And then it'll be make sure that like I'll block time off in my day to run.
Yeah.
And it can be first thing in the morning, it can be middle of the day, it can be end of the day, but it'll be like exercise time blocked off to make sure I do it.
Yeah.
And then listen to my body, like just make sure that I'll do the right things and that I'll back off if I need to, or hop on the bike instead.
Yeah. Now that your body's jiggling less, you'll be able to hear everything else a bit louder.
I can hear everything else, like my bones and my tendons and ligaments going, hey, what the fuck are you doing?
What's this? I remember this.
So it's been good.
Okay.
And then just when the pool's open again, get in the pool.
Yeah.
Do some graceful drowning.
Graceful in your mind.
Yeah. Yeah. Very much ungraceful.
Hectic.
That's me over the last couple of weeks. So it's been like, that's my positive out of COVID really.
Mm-hmm.
But what about you? Because you've been doing quite well.
Yeah.
You've been still working, but your running hasn't like drastically changed.
Yeah, no, not really.
Not load wise, you've been doing the same stuff.
I made when COVID hit and there was a lot of panic, stress, anxiety, and a lot of general unknown in the community, you know, especially for my job. Like there were points there where we were, you know, there was an uncertainty of would I maintain my job? Would I lose my job? There was uncertainty of would I get paid 75%, 50%? Would I get paid at all? Would the business that I work for go broke? There was a lot of uncertainty and a lot of stress and anxiety. And I made it a big thing for me to exercise at least once a day. Often it was just once a day. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it was twice. But that for me involved not much of a change in running, maybe a tiny increase in running, but more varying my body and how much I move. So that involved swimming. That involved a couple of bike rides, but workouts most days of the week. Workouts where I did some leg stuff as I normally would, but a lot of whole body dynamic plyometric type work as if I was at a circuit class. And I really, really got a lot out of that and I enjoyed it. And I've never really ever felt just more generally fit and healthy. I feel strong to a level that I feel useful where if someone needed something to be lifted, I could go and help lift that. So I feel like my running's in a good place and I'm strong and happy and healthy and it's one of the best feelings. So being able to do that whilst listening to my body all the time, continually getting feedback, oh, I'm going to run 15Ks today, sweet. Or no, I'm going to have a day off and I'm going to run 10Ks tomorrow, whatever it might be. But my back and my shoulders and everything's feeling good, so I'm just going to do a session there. And so mixing it up like that has made me feel more well-rounded in a fitness type way than I have in a long time. Mm. I've experienced really good cardiovascular fitness and leg fitness over the last few years, but this is the most well-rounded I've ever felt. And running feels freaking easy right now.
Because but your focus has been on UTMB for a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
So you focus mainly on running because you're going to run for 43 hours.
Yeah.
Fair point.
Mm.
So you're then like not, another as well-rounded makes total sense.
Yeah.
And it's fine to not be well-rounded when you're focusing on an event like that.
Yeah.
Even if it's a 50K a marathon, you will focus, especially in the back end of your training block, on legs and running and cardiovascular. When now, there's no events, there's nothing to train for. here you are.
Yeah, it's so good.
Spending time on the stuff that you enjoy, mm-hmm. plus it makes your running more enjoyable.
Oh, it's so good. And I've really been playing into my own hippie tendencies. So I've never enjoyed strict running programs or protocols. I very much run to feel. I don't track my heart rate. I'm basically a bit of a hippie when I run. So I've been reading this book called Mindful Running, and it definitely plays into a couple of my interests of mindfulness, of meditation, and just sitting and being with yourself combined with running. It's the most phenomenal book. I'm probably halfway through it now.
So, well, can you explain what mindful running means?
Like, so essentially,
it's like the book has its thing.
But. So like in a nutshell, to be mindful to mean is to stop thinking and to start feeling or sensing. So just being really cognizant of what's happening in you, to you, and around you just in the moment. So say when you're sitting in a chair, rather than thinking about, I do have to send an email, or I wonder what that person's doing, or, you know, wonder how New York City is coping with the COVID thing. Rather than thinking, being mindful is more about sensing. So if you're sitting in a chair, you think, how does the padding under my bum feel? Are my feet on the floor? What part of my feet are in contact with the ground, and how does that feel? Is it warm? Is it cold? Can I feel the breeze on my skin? When you go into this, just sitting there and being mindful, it allows you just to drop into this state of just being at ease. And the level of contentedness that you feel in that state is incredible. So if you take that into a running sense, being mindful while you run is not looking at your watch. It's not listening to music. It's not talking to a mate. It's not thinking about emails. It's not thinking about work or thinking about this. It's you just run and you are completely sensing the gravel under your feet. How does that crunch feel? How does that crunch of gravel sounds? Look at the leaves. What color are the leaves? Are the leaves moving? Are the leaves sitting still? Is it cold? Can you feel the breeze in your skin? What can you see? Like, what are the clouds doing? And man, I feel like a hippie. I feel like I'm talking like a hippie now. When I'm running, I feel like a hippie.
You are, mate.
But it is so good. And when you step back and appreciate running in that way, it's a game changer. You feel like you were running two-dimensionally and now you're running three-dimensionally. It's like I have gotten so much out of each run rather than saying, oh, easy 10K, that was fine. Like, it's like the best part of your day and it lights you up and you come back with such an appreciation and a gratitude for being able to run. It's incredible. So it's not easy. Like, it's something that takes practice and I've been working on this
Because like one of my reasons for running is just it turns my mind off.
Yeah.
I don't think about anything, but I don't think I do that either. So I don't make it a sensory experience. I'm just like nothing.
Yeah. And so you do that kind of unintentionally, right? Unintentionally when you run, you just end up switching off and it's lovely and pleasant and that's just where you go and what happens when you run. But if you make it an intentional practice to do that, it changes everything. It's really, really cool. So when you are focusing on the leaves and the breeze and what you can smell and what the ground feels like under your feet, when you focus on that and just focus on feeling and sensing what's happening to you right now, I guarantee you will get so much more out of your run. Plus, and that's just being a hippie and being all lovely and fairies and unicorns, but then that also really, really, really tunes you into, all I can feel is my fucking knee. Like, I can't focus on the breeze because my knee is giving me grief or whatever, or my Achilles is sore or my shins are hurting. And because you're focusing on that moment, and if that is what you're feeling in that moment, you have to respond to that and deal with that. Why is my knee the thing that I can feel? And that might make you more aware of it and then more inclined to go and do something and sort it out. Whereas, so if you're running in a mindful way, you can definitely tune into your body and deal with things as they arise. Rather than saying, oh, my knee's a bit sore, I'm going to turn my music up or I'm going to run fast or I'm going to like think about something that will distract me. If your knee's sore, you'll be aware of it and that will make you then more cognizant, therefore more able to deal with it and do something about it. So in very much a body protective manner, it's so good. But if your body's feeling good, then man, you will get so much more out of your run if you are practicing mindfulness. So it's hard. It's not something that you can just do and like, oh yeah, that was easy. It's tricky and it requires practice. I've been doing it I guess some would call it like meditation, but doing it in that sense for, you know, a couple of years now on and off, but doing it, really focusing it with running is like, oh,
it's good.
Like, man, so good.
Two things. I'm going to go for a run after this and try that.
Yeah.
And on the flip side of that, could you be too focused on aches and pains? Where, like, sometimes it's something just niggles a bit, and then because you're distracted, it goes away and you're like, oh yeah, forgot about that.
Yeah.
Could you be, oh, my knee is a bit niggly, and then all you do is focus on that? Could you take that too far?
No, because I think if... No, I don't really think so. Because if your knee is niggly and then you really, really like think about it and feel it, if it's not that bad, it might just disappear and then that's great.
Mm.
But if your knee is all that you can think about, then that's probably something that you should be dealing with.
Yeah, fair enough. Cool.
So I kind of check all of my senses as I'm running.
Mm.
And it's easier in a park or in nature, so much easier. It's a little bit harder in an urban built environment.
Yeah.
If you can just go through your senses, what can I hear? And then you'll realize there are birds chirping that you didn't actually hear before. Or you'll realize you can hear, like, you know, there'll be something. And if you think, okay, what can I see? And then you look up and you're like, oh, the leaves in that tree are actually a really cool color. Or, man, look at the feathers on that duck. Or whatever it might be. So you just, rather, you know, prior to being mindful, you go, oh, look, a duck, whatever, and just not even think about it.
Yeah.
But it, like, man, in such a hippie way, it allows you to appreciate the duck. Like, it's such a cool thing. So, but if you're trying to do all that, check your senses. What can you see? What can you smell? What can you feel? What can you taste? Like, even taste. Like, you'll notice a certain taste inside your mouth during, before, after a run. But if you're trying to check all those senses and then you're like, I still can just feel my knee. Okay, that's an issue you got to deal with.
Yeah, that. Right. Fair enough. Yeah. And I would definitely say, check one at a time. Don't try to check all six. No six senses. Check all five in one go. That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Especially not if you're starting out with this stuff.
Mm. Oh, start simple. Like, go super simple.
Yeah, just go, what can I smell? Yeah, I need a shower.
Yeah. Just spend 3 minutes thinking, what can I feel? Like, can I feel the breeze on my skin? Can I feel the gravel crunching under my feet? Can I feel the sun on my shoulders?
You know what? Normally what triggers me to do that is when I've been running and it's a bit warm and I feel like a drop of sweat running down the side of my face.
Yep.
And I'm so hyper aware of that drop. I'm
like, yeah.
It's there.
Yeah.
And that's when I start to tune into things. I'm like, oh, it's there.
Yeah. Yeah. And I actually, it's funny you say that because I had that exact same thing. A bead of sweat was running down the middle of my forehead, like kind of in between my eyebrows towards my nose. And it's in such an irritating spot. You just want to wipe it away.
Yeah.
But I was like, no, I'm going to have fun with this. And just for like a whole kilometer, I was like trying not to get irritated. And I was just feeling the bead of sweat rather than rushing to wipe it away. I was like, I'm going to leave it there. Let it drop down. See if I can tolerate. See how long I can handle this sensation of that bead of sweat there without trying to rub it away. I reckon I lasted about a kilometer and it like got down to the side of my nose. And I was like, oh, fuck it.
Got rid yeah,
of it.
Right.
But like that was a whole kilometer of my run, which was like, it was kind of fun. It was like I was playing. It's like a game. It's
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Fuck, like, man, try it.
That sounds cool. I'll try that.
So get the book. It's called Mindful Running. I could get this wrong. I think it might be by the author Mackenzie Harvey. I'm not sure, but get it and read it. And channel your inner hippie. Because it's lovely. It's great. And there's actually quite good, you know, emerging evidence that if you take this mindful approach to a race, then you can perform better. And that fucking excites me because if I nail that during COVID and then there's a marathon at the end of the year or next year and I am like super mindful, then that's really, really exciting. So Tim Olson, who's a very good ultra marathon runner in America, I think going back like 5 or 6 or 7 years ago, he broke the course record at the Western States 100-mile race by 15 or 20 minutes. He broke the course record by being mindful. He described himself as being in a state of flow for the last 20 miles and everything just came easy to him. And he's just one of the most mindful people that I'm aware of. So it's really, really cool. So I'm looking forward to like nailing it and practicing it and getting good at it now. And then when it comes time to do a next marathon or next race to like be able to drop into that and just see what happens with performance. Like, I'm fucking pumped.
That'd be so cool. What's the next race on your radar?
Oh,
like assuming that stuff later in the year is going to happen and things have been postponed and shit like that.
So my my anticipation, my gut feeling is that there will be no organized races this year. Yeah. I just don't think there will be.
Yeah, fair enough.
However, if I was being more optimistic and just planning for the races that currently have a date set, it would be the City to Surf, definitely.
That's October.
Has it been moved to October?
I think October 15th from memory.
Okay, so there would be that. I've already registered for a half marathon in Sydney. It was going to be this coming Sunday, but it's now November
15th.
Yep. And I was kind of looking at the Melbourne Marathon in October, but again, like,
that might be,
who's to say?
Yeah, that's a hard one.
So I'm not planning on doing any particular race. I'm just going to see what happens. But if I can, you know, get to the end of July into August really, really, really fit, and they make an announcement that the race is on, then if I can just tweak my fitness for like six to eight weeks specific to a race, then yeah. So I just want to put myself in a position where I can race if there is one on. But
nothing is lost when you can't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that's me. How long did I just talk for? I feel like that was a long time.
Long time.
Sorry, everyone.
Like it's the hippie in you. Like, no concept of time, nothing.
Yeah, I don't even know. What day is it? Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Go try it, everyone. I want to hear feedback because it's sick. Yeah. It's hard, but it's when you nail it, it's fine.
Bad feedback's welcome as well.
What's that?
Like, you can also just completely bag it if you want.
Oh, yeah,
if you totally. Go, this is shit, why the hell would you do it? Fine, it's an opinion.
Yeah.
It's probably not for everyone either.
Should be, though. I'm biased, but I reckon
you're biased, but yeah.
Try it.
Sweet.
Cool.
Good. That's us for this week.
Tell us about you.
Yeah, let us know what you've been doing in regards to, training, not training, getting disappointed with events being cancelled, but still training, or still maybe doing your event, but it's just by yourself.
Yeah.
That'd be... keen to hear what you guys are doing, and keen to hear from different countries with different restrictions, because I know the UK have only been allowed to go out for 1 hour of exercise once a day.
Yeah,
we've been so lucky.
Yeah,
like, just let us know what your situation is.
Yeah,
because we've been pretty chill here.
Yeah, it's nice. Australia's good.
It's good, Australia.
All right, legends, thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah. See you next week.